get a new arena. So he's never going to say that. He's never going to say, oh, relocation off the table, because, you know, he knows how the business works. He wants his owners getting as much as they can from the cities. So, and in these cases, they have. I mean, I assume the OKC ownership group probably paid nothing for their new place. You know, I if they did, it was probably minimal.
Yeah, I thought we used them and what they did. It was minimal, maybe in the grand scheme, but saying that, okay, well, the Paris should give something too. I thought there was
50
something
million.
There it was.
Yeah.
So a 900 million building.
I think it was in 50, we said, you know, yeah, the Paris should at least have in there.
But that's more symbolic, really, than anything else. That's like not, that's not really contributing. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, no,
like,
no,
that pays for the bathrooms or something.
He's got most of that. And in our case, it's the state.
Yeah.
Right? The state and the city.
That's right. So.
And this one?
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, yeah, that's the latest in the world of the NBA and potential, you know, franchise relocation. It's not a fun topic, but at least Memphis is not being specifically mentioned. All right, we'll come back. Parth Upadhyay going to join us at 125. We'll talk all things Memphis Tiger basketball with him, the latest and more. Stick around. Jason and John, are you trying to film ESPN? The Live Love Group at the Real Estate Agency is the best in town. It's just the truth when it comes to buying and selling homes. Read the reviews. Listen to us. They know how to price your home. That's important in today's day and age, realizing what is the price where this house will move. And at the same time, serving your interests as well, like helping you make the most money for your home. But market analysis and correct market analysis has never been more important in a market like this one. And that's where the Live Love Memphis Group absolutely thrives. So make sure you reach out. Sold at livelovememphis.com.
901-625-5200. Another way you can contact them. Lock in that number now. Save it for later if you like our man Reggie did. 901-625-5200. Jennifer Carstensen's got a wonderful team. She's fantastic, but she's put together an all-star team, too, that can speak Spanish and Mandarin as well as great English, obviously. But they're not going to let language be a barrier to getting the most money for your home and then getting you in your dream home as well. They can handle it on both sides, the buying and the selling. She's an all-star at both sides. Both sides of the ball. You want Jennifer Carstensen on your team. 901-625-5200. Hire this all-star. Let her show you how quick work she can make it. And as John said, it's all about pricing that home right from the get-go. It's the Live Love Memphis, Live Love Nash, and Live Love DeSoto teams at the Real Estate Agency.
All right. So just to give you a update on how Pittsburgh Steelers camp is going. Aaron Rodgers realized the toilet in his and DK Metcalf's suite flushed loudly. The quarterback told the receiver, "At night, if we got to piss, just don't flush the toilet." 9:30 on Wednesday night, DK texted, "You asleep yet?" Aaron was not asleep. He said, "Bet I'm about to flush the toilet." So that's an update from Pittsburgh Steelers camp. It's a little different than they showed on Hard Knocks. Then you stay in the suite, you know, whatever happened to like the hotel dorm rooms that they put everybody in, you know? Wasn't that the thing?
Yeah.
And they came and checked, and you had curfew and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it doesn't apply to Aaron and DK.
What? They're roommates? I would have my own room with my own toilet if I'm Aaron.
Right. Right. I guess that's the slumming it part of it. They have to share a suite.
But I guess he's got to show, you know, he's part of the, you got to win the locker room over. So, if you don't have a roommate, then you're not like everybody else. Maybe that's a part of it. I wouldn't share a room at this point in my career if I'm Aaron. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm too accomplished.
But he's just trying to show, right, that he's...
He's one of the guys.
Right.
He's willing to just be part of meeting the standard.
Yeah.
Not have to do it all himself.
That's right. That's right. So, again, I just wanted to give you an update on how that was going in Pittsburgh.
You know, I'm interested.
Now that who's Hard Knocks this year?
Why do I want to say Cowboys? I don't think it is.
Do you know, Jordan? Off top of your head,
I know. Is it the Lions?
Is it Buffalo
this year?
Is it Buffalo?
It's Buffalo.
It's Calkins.
I think it's Buffalo.
We're looking
Buffalo.
At Calkins's team.
Yeah. Yes,
I remember.
I
remember him talking.
You know, that really shows you how far the show has fallen that we don't even know. And it's supposed to start like when, next week? We don't even know. Now the end season will feature the NFC East, Cowboys, Giants.
They're going to put Shane on again?
I guess.
I was about
Joe
to say.
Shane on again? You better keep them cameras away from me. You about to ruin my career. I ruined my career on your cameras.
Yeah.
Because it's not the camera's fault.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they're going back to him. You going to be a fool again and tell us everything on camera? I can't believe that. Maybe Shane's like, come on.
Yeah. Yeah, there's
him and Dable are on the hottest seats that there are in the NFL.
Right.
For coach and GM.
Right. Anyway, yeah. I mean, I'm interested in Buffalo Bills Hard Knocks, I'll say. Like,
Yeah, we know why. Everything Josh Allen's wife you're interested in.
Yes. Haley Steinfeld.
Bro, you are in a Kia with two kids and a wife.
Bro.
So we can't be we can't be living through Josh Allen anymore.
That is a very attractive thing.
Once you decide to cross that Kia line, it's done. You have to let go.
No, but like I always feel like if me and Haley, you know, had a couple of martinis at the bar, you know what I'm saying? I think I could definitely, you know, make an impression.
In another life.
But she's a married woman. It would be more like right, the respect that I have for Josh. You know, I respect Josh for pulling that for sure.
That's why you want to watch Hard Knocks, to see if we can get any home shots of those two.
I don't think we're going to get
home
shots.
It's not for any reason for that defense or that's always let them down in the end.
Right. Especially against Pat.
Is Cook fine? Cook's in camp and he's fine. We're going to play it out. No holdouts with the running back?
Yeah.
That's what I'm hearing.
Okay.
I haven't seen any holdouts for him.
Yeah.
I looked dead at George, like looking for the update, and I'm glad you're. I'm glad.
The only ones I know
the AFC
of.
Our AFC East correspondent.
The only ones I know of off the top of my head, fan. Of course, are Parsons, Terry McLaurin, and then both the guys there in Cincinnati are the ones I'm 100% sure on.
Yeah,
the Parsons thing is just dirty.
Jeffrey thinks Jerry Jones is just going to do the thing that he always does.
He does.
Is just going to announce it the day before the season.
Right.
And he'll all of a sudden magically be ready to play.
But right. Why drag him through and talk about how the guys that, you know, Dak and him, you know, you get hurt when you pay some of these. There's no point in that. How is that boosting morale? But Jerry doesn't care about morale.
Right.
I pay you, you perform for me.
Right.
And don't get hurt, basically, is the way he views it.
Yep.
Then, yeah.
Yep. Anyway. Hard Knocks should be coming soon. And then we have some news in college sports. Now, how impactful it will be remains to be seen, but President Donald Trump has directed members of his cabinet to develop a plan in the next 30 days aimed at preserving college sports opportunities and preventing college athletes from becoming professionals. That's according to an executive order that he signed yesterday. Basically, no pay for play from third parties, which is basically what the NCAA said at the beginning of this is not pay for play. Now there's this executive order from the president who is saying we do not want any third party deals done. Now this is separate of obviously the fair market value deals that have already been approved. So I guess my thought on this is how really impactful and effective it will be, because it's all going to be going through Deloitte anyway. I mean, I don't really know what third-party pay-for-play payments would even look like in this era, because it all has to go through, you know, because collectives are basically, you know, I think they were done away with, although there was some thought last week that maybe they were coming back and could be used as a business, but I'm not really sure who this will impact, how it will impact anybody.
It also sounds like that it may not get through, you know, this might just end up just being symbolic where it gets through the House but not the Senate.
Right.
And so it may never have any legs to where we get to a point where we're seriously considering, okay, well, what do these new guidelines look like? You're coming in and potentially limiting or putting rails on how much these athletes can make. Is that going to stand up? Is that going to fly? I have a hard time with it. Of course, Charlie Baker on the conference commissioners were cheering it on. This is what they mean. This is why, right. You know, Sankey siding up to Trump, and you got Charlie Baker applauding it.
Yep.
Because it's all out of control. That's the side they're coming at it from. But we're really going to allow government to put a limit on your earning ability. I mean,
yeah.
I don't think that's getting through.
Yeah.
We'll see. I think that just ends up being symbolic and Trump making a lot of friends.
Right. Yeah, because it's easy to just say, no pay for play.
And Trump can go back to him and say, well, you know, I understand where you guys come from. I gave it a shot. You know, we tried. You know, I did what you guys asked me to do. We just didn't get through. Couldn't get past Senate.
Exactly.
But you can say you gave it a shot and you listened to him.
Yes.
And take those free golf trips.
It does. It feels like a little, like, it's, again, it's what the NCAA said at the beginning of it. Hey, this is not pay for play. This is NIL. This is, we're going back to 2021. you know, when it was instituted. And it was never that. It never became that because there was no way to police it. There was no way to enforce it. There was no way to say, all right, let's make sure you're doing your engagements for FedEx. You know, who on earth is checking on that? I mean, I do think Memphis had some of those deals, you know? I mean, you would see the P.J. Haggerty tweets, you know, he had FedEx tweets, but like, and some meet and greet stuff, but let's be real, those weren't going to cost $1 million. So, but again, like, Deloitte's basically rubber stamping all these from is what my understanding is. It's like, this is not being challenged. It's not being like, hey, you can't pay that much. Because again, it's like, who determines the fair market value anyway? Don't I determine the fair market value as the business that's willing to pay?
Mm-hmm.
I determine the value, not you.
Now you go. Now you're talking. It's interesting that one of the attorneys used some of Trump's old language again. He said, as a result of our case, college athletes are now free to make their own deals. For Trump to want to put his foot on their deal-making abilities is unwarranted, but more, it goes this part, and flouts his own philosophy on the supposed art of the deal.
Right. Well, I mean, it seems like it's the art of the deal, you know, all for day the long. Schools who get to get, you know, but what about, like, this is America. This you're supposed to be.
These athletes deal-making, I mean, this is America, as you say.
Get what your
market sets your value.
What somebody says you're worth.
Right.
That's what it's all about.
Right. President can't cap that.
Capped it. Yeah. I mean, so, again, the NCAA tried to do this essentially, but this, you know, so I don't ultimately think this will be, I think this is like, this has no teeth. You know, and it's not political. It's just like, I think anybody trying to police this would have major issues doing it.
Yeah, it's going past the House, not past the Senate.
Is that what they're saying?
Many think that could end up being the case.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to stuff it. You should have stuffed it in the one big, beautiful bill, man. That was the time. There. I mean, you know, I guess there are other bills that will come and go, but.
Could be called for a full vote in the House as soon as September. So,
well, the House, yeah, the House we'll is on recess, as you know.
Yes.
So, until September because of the Epstein files.
We're going to bring it back then, yeah. Potentially.
They're going to have a lot of work to do in September. They're going to have a lot of things. Because I saw, you know, I don't know if we talked about it on this show, but part of that one big beautiful bill is like if you're a sports gambler, for example, you know, you now get, you can now only write off 90%. Of your losses, you were not able to write off 100% of your losses.
Oh, wow.
Which means even if you lose money on the year, you're only allowed to write off 90% of them.
The lost money.
Which means that you will end up owing tax despite the fact that you did not profit, despite that you did not actually make income. Yeah. I mean, kind of a nutty system there. But that got kind of shoved into the one big beautiful bill because everybody was just so desperate to get it across. And like, hey, let me get... And now they're working on getting it repealed, and you know, but that's government. That's bureaucracy for you. It's slow moving, and it's kind of nutty.
I did not realize that went through.
Yeah, so a lot of people have moved, myself included. I talk about CalSHI all the time. Like, that's where I put most of my stuff in now because I don't, A, that's treated differently than a sports bet, believe it or not. I can bet on a sports game on CalSHI. And it's treated different. As an events contract.
Well, they're gonna tighten the noose on that.
Well,
that little loophole.
Luckily, Trump's son is an advisor
to CalSHI.
Of course he is. And the Trump appointee of the CFTC by Trump is a board member of CalSHI. So, you know, when you're on the right side of corruption, it's not so bad.
The right side of unrighteousness.
That's right. But it's when you're on the other
damn.
Side. Yeah. They did their homework. They knew what was up. That's why sports books have been railing like this is not right. We have to pay taxes. We have to do things that they don't have to do, even though it's the same thing. And they're treated differently. Like you could actually write off losses on CalSHI. If I like lost a bunch of money on sports, I could write that off against any gains I've made in the stock market, realized gains. Whereas sports betting only allows you to, deduct to zero. So that's the difference. It's a big difference. I can write off 50 grand conceivably if I was doing it on the CFTC derivative.
Wow.
If I lost 50 grand in sports betting, I can only write it off to zero.
Cool.
So.
Well, the feds got on that.
Yep.
We're on.
Oh, they got it.
Cool.
But again, we're abolishing the IRS, as you know.
Yeah, well, that's true.
So, anyway, congrats to all those who are following the tax code. It's getting pretty narrow out there.
Sounds like it.
It's getting pretty narrow. The only people that are going to be paying taxes these days are going to be, like, the gamblers.
Gamblers.
And, You know, I don't know who else. All right, we'll come back. Parthu Padja is going to join us on the other side. We'll talk to him about the week for Memphis, the American pairings, the Big 12, Paul Feinbaum, lots to come. Stick around. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN. Parthu Padja covers the Memphis basketball program for the Daily Memphian. He had a piece up yesterday about our interview with Paul Feinbaum, which was pretty heated. There's no doubt about it. Some flames thrown in that one. It was a busy week for the University of Memphis, and he joins us now. What's going on, dog?
Man, never a dull moment, huh, around here.
Did you find yourself, like, getting your hopes up? You're like, oh, I'm going to get to cover Kansas. I'm going to get to cover, like, big-time matchup.
It's crazy. I was driving when that popped up, and I got the alert from, who was that reporter? It was Ross. Yeah, Ross Dellinger. And then I saw your quote tweet. And obviously, when you read the headline, even though I'm not a Tiger fan, just as a media, objective media member, you're like, oh, damn, this is about to happen. You see the $200 million and Big 12 in the same headline there. You're like, yeah, this is about to be a go. And then you quickly click the story and you get through about, I don't know, third, fourth graph. And you're like, oh, no, it is not going to happen. In fact, when you see that quote about, you know, what's changed with Memphis.
Yeah.
Which is kind of crazy because a lot has changed with Memphis since 2021 or 2016. Whenever, you know, those talks were really intensified in the past, I feel like Memphis is arguably a completely different program, right? The trajectory's much higher than it was even 4 years ago.
Do you suspect at some point we'll hear from Ed Scott about what they tried to do, which is obviously they acknowledged that the university put out a statement.
Yes.
But do you think we'll sort of ever get to, you know, maybe the machinations behind the scenes in terms of, because Ed started out, I mean, his tenure, real transparent, talked about the Pac-12 deal that wasn't good enough, right?
Yep.
Do you think we'll hear some more of Memphis's side, or that they'll continue to sort of work behind the scenes, maybe with ACC, maybe even splitting it up? How do you think this is going to go?
Yeah, I think just knowing Ed Scott from a professional relationship standpoint, like in the limited time that he's, you know, we've spent with him as media throughout this past year. Like, he seems like the guy that, you know, he'll share whatever he can, right? Like, he'll put it out there.
Says he will, yeah.
He says he will, and you know, to his credit, so far he has. He's been transparent, and he doesn't speak too often, but when he does speak, he's giving you something. It's not a canned statement.
No, you're
right.
It's
not some BS. It's, you know, here's what happened, here's what we attempted, and here's what did or did not go our way, right? That's how it's been. So I think, you know, the next time he does talk, whether it's, I'm guessing it'll be sooner than later this offseason, you have to assume, for whatever, whether it's for a stadium renovation update or anything, really, I'm sure we'll get some kind of insight as to what they tried. And we know a lot of the details, according to Ross Dellinger and, you know, Brett McMurphy and others, but it sure would be nice to hear it from the man himself, Ed Scott.
Because you're not making the offer unless you thought you were further along, right? I think that's the question we all have about this.
That's the part that's baffling.
Were
right?
you misled?
Yeah, and the I think it was, there were so many, obviously, pieces out that came right after Dellinger's that had other details, other reporting, but I think it was Dellinger's original report where he broke the news of the offer, and it talked about kind of Memphis officials had multiple meetings, right, with Big 12 leadership over the past, I think, 14 months.
Yeah, Hargrave been working back,
I mean,
that far, right?
It's like anything else. Like when you offer a job to a coach or even in recruiting nowadays, you don't formally extend an offer on paper unless you're at least somewhat sure that it's going to be entertained seriously, right? Not accepted, but entertained seriously.
100%.
And to see this thing not even go to a vote?
Embarrassing.
That's crazy.
It is embarrassing.
Not even a vote?
Now, you know, look, if they were going to get the votes, you know, they weren't going to get the votes.
But they didn't even reach a vote.
Yeah,
it's
no.
They did not get the votes.
Even if they would have gone to a vote, that they wouldn't have gotten the votes. I mean, that's kind of the thing. So they just skipped the ceremony and said, we're not even going to, you know.
Well, let me ask you all this. As, you know, folks who have attachment to the University of Memphis in some capacity, would you feel better? Like, same result. Let's say it's still a denial. If they went to a vote and they didn't get the 12 out of 16, but let's say we found out that, I don't know, 9 of the 16 voted yes, and it's still a denial. But at least, doesn't that make you feel a little bit better about the state of the program? And
I don't know what he's
going
to say, but me, yes. Because me, exactly. That's an acknowledgement, okay, some things have changed. Memphis has come and done, frankly, what we've asked them, what we said they weren't good enough, those areas. They've improved what they can control. Can't control your market, but they've controlled the academics. They've gotten, you know, top 25 football and basketball end of the season last year. Control of their own now football stadium that's getting $220 million in renovations.
Which Feinbaum called a top-notch facility.
100%, and that would say that at least some of those presidents, right, acknowledge and recognize that, yeah, I would have a easier time swallowing this.
Exactly. That's the way I saw
it. And the way I figured is that Hargrave, that's where I'm at, John, with that, is that Hargrave and Scott must have thought that you'd at least get a decent amount of folks that were with you and would acknowledge that. Otherwise, why? Even if we're going to get the no, John, like we all would expect, you're still going to get enough of an acknowledgement that it's worth putting the offer out.
Oh, yeah. Well, right? And plus, like, if in this scenario you got 9 of 16,
yeah,
you could say, all right, well, look, we got to start going
let's
to work
go back
on the 5 schools that's voted no. We got to flip. We can flip them.
Exactly. Let's
you know,
meet
you,
with them
there's
further.
A, there's
let's...
A, there, maybe there is a path. Maybe there's like...
100%.
Yeah, but so it's...
So how do smart men get to that point
unless they are
grossly misled? And in this case, and you know, maybe the guy that misled them is misinformed. Maybe your mark doesn't have nearly the.
And I was gonna say, Feinbaum kind of alluded, or he didn't allude to it. He plain out said it that he believed that your mark was the reason it didn't even go to a vote. Right? Like he kind of suggested that.
He kind of make it sound like he's the one that shut it down.
That shut it down exactly. I mean, only thing that seems logical, right? I mean. I don't have sourcing in the Big 12 or I'm not plugged into that conference or anybody within it, but if you're just thinking about it, you know, logically, it seems like that's the only thing that really makes sense, right? The commissioner saying, hey, we're not going to go to a vote.
Maybe. I don't know. I had come at it before we talked to Feinbaum, and that was the first time I'd hear, you know, looking at it as your mark, maybe your mark's the guy that's misinformed. Maybe he's come and said, look at what Memphis is bringing to the table, $200 million. They're going to up us on this PayPal deal. Each of you guys are getting $2 million plus more just in that alone. Oh, here's more to the deal. It's better than SMU's to the AAC.
Much better.
Isn't this great? That look at what they're doing for us. He's been the open-minded guy that's
right.
Even looked
could
at
be.
It through a basketball prism at times. And those presidents say, yeah, Brett, we love it. We love it. So he goes back to Memphis and says, yes, let's make the offer, whatever. We're going to get some traction here. And those presidents that said that to your mark have no respect for him whatsoever. Kind of look at him the way that Feinbaum does. You old, you know, look at a TV guy that doesn't get it. And they were lying to his face about how behind Memphis they would
be.
That's kind of the scenario I had envisioned.
Yeah, for
that's
sure.
How Hargrave and Ed Scott get so, you know, I don't know, to a point where they think this offer is worth making. So those are smart guys that were in the room with those presidents, too. I mean, to some point, Hargrave's fooled, too, right? If you're sitting down with administrators for 14 months, you know, you've put in some work there. Obviously, you've gotten some, you know, you're the one that made the offer. So you must have felt like they were with you, too.
No doubt. And I wasn't privy to the details or I didn't know the $200 million figure, or else I would have reported it. But in terms of just basic conversations with the Big 12 about something like this, yeah, I'd heard rumblings about 8-9 months ago. So this is not something that just came out of thin air. It's not something that they just decided to do, you know, last week. To y'all's point, like this is something that was built off of ongoing discussions with Big 12 leadership. And unless they felt that the Big 12 was at least lukewarm about the idea, they wouldn't have pitched it.
Yeah. So, look, we'll see what happens. What do you think of bribing the Big East?
I like that. We're calling it the Martin Plan. Is that what y'all dubbed it?
I think it was dubbed by others, but
self-dubbed.
And again, it's not even an original idea. However, I did sort of, I guess, officially stamp it.
Yeah.
So if it works, I'll take credit for it. And if it doesn't, I will just blame Jason.
Mm. No, I like it. I like it. And in that case, the Olympic sports would also go to the Big East, right? Just want to make
have to because we can't pay for them to be in the pack.
So only football is going to the pack.
Correct.
Everything else is going. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that. I think I'd spin the block on the ACC, right? First, it'd just be nice to have everything in one conference.
You can, I'm sure you can spin the block if you'd like, but
it makes sense, like geographically better. Like,
yeah, but they won't take you.
Memphis was conference mates with how many of those schools? Louisville, Florida State. Georgia Tech.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you're
Boston
going
College
way,
too,
you're
right?
Going,
if I'm not mistaken.
You're going way back for that one.
They would be reunited with 4 former conference mates, unless I'm missing somebody. I might be missing somebody too.
I think it's just more like they were conference mates with Marquette and UConn too. in the Big East.
For what, those 8 months? Is that what you're talking about?
No, they were in Marquette was in CUSA, and then UConn, yes.
Was a hostage in it.
But they were in it, and they kicked and screamed their way out of it. Right. But, I mean, to say Memphis was a conference mate with Georgia Tech from 50 years ago is like...
I don't think it was quite 50 years, but whatever, sure.
It had to be in the 70s, bro.
I think it was 80s or 90s, but that's beyond the point.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is they were once in the same conference with four, not one, but four schools. And
a billion years ago.
I've heard this, you know, it's not just y'all, but I've heard other, you know, people discuss this on Sports Talk Radio and elsewhere that, like, you know, would Cal, Stanford, UNC, Duke, like, would they want a school like Memphis in that conference? Well, not every single school in that league is this super... Right. Prestige academic institution. There are...
Would North Carolina vote yes on Memphis, yes or no?
I think they'd consider... I don't know.
They would not.
Y'all are getting out anyway.
They would not.
It's Cal and Stanford that you're looking at and saying...
That's two no's off the rip.
But I think Carolina and
Duke's a no. North Carolina's going to vote with Duke.
How many would you need for the ACC? I'm trying to do the...
I think you can only take four no's.
Oh, okay.
I just gave you four.
And you just rattled off four.
And Virginia... No.
Great academic institution. Georgia Tech. You know, great.
I think Georgia Tech's giving you a no.
You think so?
I think your real alma mater, NC State, would be a yes.
Yeah.
Because
they're about to be.
But I think Clemson would say no. I think Clemson would not want to share a league with Memphis.
Why?
Just because I think the view of Memphis is just so poor. You know, that's the truth of it.
But look at the deal. If you're bringing the same deal, you're not.
But Clemson doesn't care about that, right? That's the problem.
That's true.
It's like, you know. There are going to be four schools that don't care about that. Duke, Cal, North Carolina's going to vote with Duke, and then Stanford. So you have four no's off the rip, is my view of it.
And you think Carolina, Duke are
yes.
pretty no-leaning?
Yes.
You think so?
Yes, okay. Even though I think it's ironic and a little hypocritical for North Carolina to be that way.
With the latest reports of the SEC.
But yeah, like because ultimately... These schools have to share the league with Memphis. For however long, they have to share the league with Memphis. And which schools do I think have the stomach to do that in the ACC? I don't think it's really that many. You know, I could be wrong.
And we're just thinking about academics. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I think it's just like association. Yeah, and association is like going to be, but it's a lot of things.
Perception of the city,
100%.
Perception
yes.
of the student body, demographic, all that
yes,
stuff.
Yes, yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. Like the scandals of Memphis basketball past. Like,
UNC was cheating for 30-something years.
Yeah, but North Carolina, like it or not, they are just going to be treated differently. Michael Jordan played there.
Hey, man, that brand,
Dean Smith
that,
coached
that,
there.
That brand carries some weight.
That brand is 100%.
That jump, man.
It's like the old thing. It's like some people are worth more of a headache than others.
Absolutely.
And North Carolina fits into that, you know, box. They're a headache. They're not that different than Memphis, but they've got championships and Final Fours and, you know, a brand.
And a top three player of all time who went, yeah, absolutely.
And Memphis, unfortunately, is not there. I mean, I think Memphis has a brand. I think Memphis can go to the Big East and fit in just fine. I think they can fit in just fine in the ACC. But I think there's going to be less political willingness in the ACC than it would be in the Big East.
One could argue that they fit in culturally better with the ACC than the Big East. With the Big East, you know, it's comprised of mostly Catholic schools, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, we love God in Memphis.
I know. I've
so
seen
it. we're not I'm not,
not Catholic.
I'm not trying to put this on you, Parr.
Sure,
but yeah, this maybe. Is a very religious place. So I think
and
we'd have no
it,
problem.
Man. Yeah,
we'd have no problem sure. with the Catholic piece of it. Everybody's not Catholic, but. You know, we are a very practicing, you know, metropolitan
well, I know,
area.
I know, trust me, yeah.
So I think, you know, again, part of this is just I don't believe Memphis will have tracks in the ACC. Oh. That's where it comes from.
Then what's next then, right? Like, is it just
it's the Martin plan?
The Martin plan.
That's, yeah. And that's what it's not his plan.
Right.
But if you don't agree with it, you're dead to Martin.
Because then it's like what – If you don't agree with it, what are you asking Memphis to do?
Yeah, like what's your idea, right?
You're gonna exactly. just stay in the American? I saw the pairings, and I went through and I said, all right. I mean, I knew this was probably gonna be the case anyway, but you know, thank God Memphis had a South Florida road game, because if they didn't have a South Florida road game, they'd have zero quad one opportunities this year.
That's nuts. And who knows how good South Florida will be?
Yeah, I mean, that could be like, fake.
That could implode.
They could be 80th
by the time that comes around. Exactly.
90th.
Exactly.
Not according to your Bible, Bart Torvik.
Well, that's just today. But yeah, I mean, and they're barely hanging on.
Are they?
Well, has that gone down?
Well, they're 60. They're 63.
No, okay. But tops in the American.
Yeah, but it's got to be
that's
what?
Crazy.
It's got to be on the road. It's got to be what? top 75
in the net. Yeah, top 75.
Right, yeah.
So they're I mean, two losses and they're in this. They're 78.
They're 78.
There's
yeah,
no
exactly,
denying
exactly.
This league.
You can have zero quad one chances in the American. Didn't Memphis have at least one last year?
They had two, if I'm not mistaken. I got to go back and look. Which yeah. was, we were all talking about yeah. how horrible that was, and now it's
yeah
zero
at FAU. Was that a, would that have been one?
I think it was at Temple. No, was it at Temple?
I don't think so. I would have been. I don't know. North Texas, you didn't go to. You played them here.
Maybe it was one. It was probably one. Which one was it, though? Was it
at UAB, maybe? I don't know.
It was at UAB. I think that's the one.
Was that a quad one?
Yeah, because UAB was struggling heavily to begin the season, and they kind of found their footing. And
oh, was it neutral site game in the AAC championship against UAB? Because
that might have been the second.
Okay.
I think. I got to go back and look. But
yeah, I mean, it's so sad that we can't.
They didn't
even
have zero.
Yeah.
That's what we know. They did not have zero.
Memphis is standing by right now. Sincere Parker, who they brought over from McNeese State, and obviously you expect to be in the backcourt with Doug McDaniel, but he's been accused of aggravated assault involving a case involving a woman. We all know that part of it. What we haven't gotten a chance to ask you is that if they do decide they have to move on from Sincere Parker, and obviously the courts will determine some of that, how big of a blow is it?
I think it's pretty sizable, right? Like, there's already a lot of question marks up and down the roster. Particularly in the front court, and then, you know, you throw in potentially, and I don't think this will happen, but it very well could with the domestic violence case, that, you know, a guy who is you're banking on to have that kind of monster leap that others have had under Penny Hardaway, for him not to be in the picture,
yep.
like then what, right? Then you're like, okay, then you really got to get a lot of production from, we know we can, I think we can bank on Doug McDaniel, but you really got to get a lot of production from the likes of Zachary Davis, yep. Hassan Abdul-Hakim, Julius Thedford, right?
Yep.
And those guys are capable, but are you like banking on them? Are you sharpening them in for, you know, 12 to 15 points a game? I don't know.
No quad one wins in the American last year.
That's nuts.
You had one, two, three quad two wins. Only four opportunities overall in quad two, but
wow.
You got three of four there. You would have had a quad one opportunity had you played at North Texas, because they finished 65th. So had you played there, that would have been a quad one chance, but you probably would have lost, honestly, because I didn't like the way it looked here in Memphis. So,
yeah, that didn't look great.
I mean, and the American can say, look, we're giving Memphis a 100% increase in quad one chances this year. You get to go to South Florida. And the problem is, we know that these teams can only get worse. Like there won't be a team that jumps into the top 75.
Well, they are scheduling better. You look at across the
Come
league.
Oh, man.
I saw
somebody schedule Shaw University, bro.
Raleigh, stand up. 919.
Who did that?
Who was responsible for that?
Who was it in the American that scheduled them?
Was it Rice? No.
It might have been them. But somebody scheduled a damn D2 team.
That's crazy.
In the American,
Raleigh.
Bro. Because they're that desperate for wins. It's sad. And not an exhibition, a regular season game.
Wow.
Like, and again, it's like people think like, oh, well, Memphis is just fine in the American basketball, man. I mean, it's all about football, man. It's like, it's not. First of all, somebody tweeted me yesterday, like, Memphis football is more relevant than basketball. Lie.
It's untrue.
We did the paternity test.
Yeah.
And the test determined that you are not the father. That statement is false, because Memphis has not won a football conference championship since 2019. Memphis basketball won the American regular season, the American tournament last year, and they were a 5-seed in the NCAA tournament.
That's why I thought Calkins' poll that he had the other day. I looked at the results last night. I was scrolling through Twitter, and I'm like, what?
The football people, man.
The people really feel this way?
The football people are
so heavily skewed toward football.
I mean, it's like Jehovah's Witnesses, man. They stick together.
It's like a cult, bro.
Scientology.
Man, so what was the question was what? Which program's in a
better
place?
Current state. Current. It should be football, but it's not.
It's not. Which program's better run or smoothly run? Okay, fine. I'd give you football for that, because they haven't been in the headlines for
If Memphis basketball had a dude that was DMing other teams about like injuries or bro, we be talking about Jeez. Penny has lost control of the program.
The locker room.
How could he possibly have done this?
Yep.
You know. Instead, it's like, well, we came on here and we were accused of poo-pooing the story when it came to Silverfield, man. That's how lightly we took it.
That's crazy.
So, yeah, I mean, I just think like they are held to different standards. And you know, I think that's, you know, we don't try to do that. But I do think in the general populace,
100%.
It's like Memphis football is like, ah, whatever. They go 8-4 every single year. You know, we'll still go. And it, like,
I think if they go 8-4 this year, there will be some. flack, public flack.
I don't think so, but 84? I hope you're right.
Again, part of that's because of a historically lower level of expectations for Memphis football in terms of why that's treated those two things.
But we've seen that program pop.
100%.
We just saw it in 2019.
As my partner would say, update your priors. We are in a different era of Memphis athletics. 100%.
You know, the funding and everything else, right? Yeah.
Agree completely.
Yep. Anyway, Parth Upadhyay, I'll tell you this. You're a Power 4 beat writer. You're a Power 4 beat writer, but you're
in the group.
But you're stuck in the American.
They got me in the American. They got me. Remember UTSA? I was in the bleachers. I was up there on ESPN Plus in the bleachers. They wouldn't give me a press seat, man. What kind of amateur hour nonsense?
That's because you're in group of six.
Yep.
You know,
I was sitting in the stands.
And you're a power structure.
A high school ass gymnasium, man. Come on.
Yep. He is part of the pod. Yeah, he covers Tigers for the Daily Memphian. Nice enough to join us. Thanks, brother.
Appreciate y'all.
Come back, wrap it up for Friday. Jason and John, I'm trying to film ESPN. Summer of 1,000 engagements is almost over at Robert Irwin Jewelers. Get by. Any purchase of $999 or more, you get free diamond stud earrings. With any purchase of $2,499 or more, you get a free Yeti Tundra with $2,499 or more. Again, you can choose from a 3-carat diamond tennis bracelet, just $999. You get a free pair of diamond stud earrings. That's how it works, right? Lots of options at Robert Irwin Jewelers, but it doesn't last forever. Go see Howie today.
Got plenty of financing options as well when it comes to how you're going to pay. Propose now, pay later, can take up to 60 months to pay. As John said, this is your last chance. Summer's coming to a close, especially over at Robert Irwin Jewelers, and the chance to take advantage of this sale. 40% off diamond jewelry during the Summer of 1,000 Engagements. It's going on right now, but ending. Hurry on in before it does end. See a store for complete details. Bigger, brighter diamonds, better prices. Always at Robert Irwin Jewelers. 5 locations, 3 here locally, or online at rijewelers.com.
All righty. Thanks to Parth Upadhyay for joining us in that last segment. It is amazing. It's been so busy for the University of Memphis basketball program, even though the season's been over for, 4 months.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, between the portal and getting a team together and scheduling and...
Now he's going to need an assistant coach.
You got to get another
maybe assistant. You promote from within. But
sure.
It's an open spot.
Exactly. So
even more.
Yeah, I mean, I always am amazed how year round it's become in college athletics now.
Shout out to David Jones and Naquan Tomlin. They shined in summer league. David Jones got his 2-way with San Antonio.
Yes.
Did you see Naquan? Our man Hollinger ended up writing about him, about what a stud he was in summer league. Cleveland should sign him up.
They should. That's exactly right. But
Penny producing them pros.
We shall see. Hopefully he finds a way. Thanks to Parth Upadhyay for joining us on the show. Thanks to Joe Theismann as well. That's going to do it for us today. Jeffrey and company up next. Don't miss it. For Jason, I'm John. We're gone.